Amen. You can take your seats, church. Thank you to Sam and the team again for leading us so well. And it's just going to be delightful to gather later this morning around the Lord's table and share in a time of communion together, and to bring our series, which is called Moving Forward, to a close today. And I trust, church, that you've found it maybe informative or challenging and instructive as we've talked about the statements that guide the life of this church here at the Hills Christian Family Centre. Many these days, it's often the practice of many different churches to use February as a month where, if you like, it's called a vision casting month or a time of dreaming, whatever gets you more excited out of those two words, just choose one of those. When we talk about who we are as a church and, for that matter, where we are going in the year and years to come. So we've been doing that here at the Hills, and there's been a little bit of repetition. I've gone through a few different times our vision and our mission statements. For some of you, this is the fourth time you've seen these up on the screen this week. You're smiling at me. Rye smiles, thinking, "Pastor, we've seen this now." Look, I thought, is there a rule where I could stop putting this up on the screen? The first person who comes up to me who can memorize these is allowed to say, "Pastor, we've seen this enough." On the top. I thought that might be okay. Is anyone interested in that? Can anyone do that? Don't stand up now and recite it, although that would be impressive. I must admit, I can't say I've necessarily committed these to memory, so I need to be renewed in them. But that's our vision as a church for all Christian Family Centre churches that we're adhering to. That's our mission and what we do and what we're all about here. So everything that we initiate here at the Hills Christian Family Centre wants to reach that goal that is there before you, and that's how we move apart that. Now, what we did then for spelling more out about the life of our church was to look at our name, Christian Family Centre. And you'll remember that we talked about names and how they say a lot sometimes about us. You may remember in the scriptures, God often changed people's names. Abram became Abraham, Jacob became Israel, Saul became Paul, because God wanted to say something different about the lives of those servants of his, about how it was about to change and become something different. So God takes names seriously. Often we can think they're totally accidental. Sometimes they might be inappropriate. We might want a different one. Often, though, there was something going on in the giving of our names, and someone wanted to say something about us. My mum called me David because she loved me before I was even born. That was really exciting when I found out it. I was even more excited when I found out that David made a statement about that biblical David, that God loved him, that he was beloved of God. So that's a really exciting thing in our name. So Christian, firstly, means that we've got a passionate desire to attract people to Jesus and develop them as his disciples. And instead of just saying that, we want to say, well, what would you measure? How would you know if you were doing that? And there are four things listed there that we talked a lot about a couple of weeks ago. Commitment to follow Jesus, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then engaging in a personal devotional life through Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, giving in that way. Then, last week, we talked about family. What does family mean in the Hills Christian Family Centre name? And we talked about the fact that we're a purposeful fellowship that connects people together in Christian community. So, did you know the Christian life is not just about you? That was a phrase that we've been using. It's not just about us, that we don't just get saved and God thinks, fantastic, I've communicated to you as an individual. You can now go off and just have your little individual Christian life. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you're connected with. Just do those Christian things and you'll be fine. In fact, if you read through the New Testament, the belief or the idea that a Christian might be on his own and disconnected from community is totally foreign to the New Testament. totally God, people became Christians, if you like, in community, and then walked with that community as they went forward. So your participation in the Hills Christian Family Center, I don't know if you want to call it that, is integral to your Christian expression. When Jesus and the Apostle Paul say repeatedly throughout the New Testament, love one another, did you know that you need another person to obey that scripture? Forgive one another, bear with one another, teach one another. You cannot do that on your own. So the full understanding of the New Testament is that Christians exist and serve and minister and live and breathe in a community. And you should never opt out of that. You can't really, in obedience to the teaching of the New Testament, opt out of it. You're called to it. Now, is it difficult at times? Does it get messy? Is it hard? It's all of those things, because there are people in a community and you're one of them. So there are challenges. So when we talk about Christian community, we're talking about church partnership. That means just committing to a local church community here at the Hills Christian Family Centre and then getting involved in a connect group. Today, we're going to talk about centre. Why is it the Christian Family Centre? What does that mean? And how might we express that in the life of our church here? And it says that we've prioritised our efforts to equip people for ministry in the church and mission in the world. Now, that's an interesting way, if you ask me, of putting that. We could have said we just do mission in the ministry in the world, and that would be true, but we're wanting to actually say that we equip people for ministry and mission in the world. There's an extra layer added on to that. When the Hills Kids team gather together for their teen day this afternoon between 12:30 and 4:30, they will be being equipped for ministry and mission to the young community of our church. So they just don't show up on Sunday morning, go out when everyone else does, say a few good things to the kids and hope it all goes out all right. But then once the kids have gone this morning, they then go into a huddle and get equipped for ministry. Because friends, when we want to do mission and ministry in the world, we don't want to just do, well, whatever we can or whatever we're capable of at the time, or, you know, we'll just hope it goes okay. But we actually expect and believe that our mission and ministry in the world might be enhanced and expanded as we are equipped for that mission in the ministry of the world, as we are trained, as we are called, as we are developed, as we grow, that we might actually even be able to do it better when we get involved in that. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited by the fact that God just doesn't want me to believe in him, and he just doesn't want me to then connect with a group of people, but he then commissions me and you for service in the life of the church and in our community. It's one of the most exciting things. When you think about it, God could have, if he wanted to, say, I want a big church of Christians, I want lots of people to believe in me, but I'm actually going to do everything else myself. I'm going to win people, the Holy Spirit's going to do it all, we're going to look after it, you just sit there, keep praising me, connect with a few people if you want to keep you from being lonely, but I'm going to do all the work. But friends, that's not what God has done. In fact, he uses people to win people. And sometimes we think, that's risky. I don't know, God, if you should do that. People, it's so risky, Lord. They don't always want to do it. They are always that good at it. Sometimes they hurt each other. Oh, Lord, really? But friends, for better or for worse, God is sending you into your church community, if you like, and into your outside community to win people for Jesus Christ and to minister to them in the name of the gospel. And we have no other alternative approach. There's no plan B and C. It's Jesus and it's us to do mission and ministry in the world. That's the calling. And when it comes to raising up what we call the ascension gifts in the church, pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and apostle. Poor old apostle, they got left out again. Apostle Paul says he's often on the end of the queue. The job of those five gifts in the church is to equip. It's actually in the Bible. Believe it or not, it's there in the NIV. To equip the saints for mission and ministry in the world. Who are the saints? Not just good Christians. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ becomes set apart and sanctified and therefore wears the name of saint. So friends, I'm almost most excited by the centre. I'm excited by the fact that this is a place where we come to be equipped. Now, here's an interesting thought. Church on Sunday is not our ultimate destination as Christians. Did you know that? Church, it's been said on Sunday, the gathering of the church, is the locker room of faith. It's when we huddle together. It's when we get together and we start every Sunday by declaring the goodness of God, by declaring his praises, by saying that Jesus died for us. Our life is different because of who God is and what he did. We're encouraged. Whatever's happened in the past week, we're shrugging it off. We're not allowing it to stop us to praise Jesus, and we're declaring his goodness. And then we share news of what's going on in our community, who's involved in what, who's rising in leadership, what's happening about the place. We give thanks for that. And then we listen to the preaching of the word, and by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, as it's proclaimed over you, you are being transformed every time it happens. Your life is changing, even if you want to resist it, even if you want to say no. You're here now. It's too late. The Spirit is moving on your life. You are being ministered to, and you are being drawn along in the great mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. You may not have said yes publicly to that, but God wants you, as Uncle Sam once said. God wants you in this great mission and ministry in the world. He's inviting you to step into that, and it is delightful to be involved in mission and ministry in the world. So we measure that by two ways. Ministry in the church, that could be as simple as saying, well, I'm on a roster, I'm helping here. Sometimes it's much more informal than that. We reach out to others. We just make sure that when one of us turns 90, we just say, hey, we just think that's a sensational achievement. Talking to the Langmaid girls this morning about, they said, how old are you, Pastor Dave? I said, I'm 50. They said, oh, that's not, you got a long way to go to 90. I said, yes, but I'm halfway there. And then I think it was Chelsea piped up and said, you're halfway to 100. I thought, I'd never thought of it like that. That's a long way to go. 50 years. Another 50 years. I wonder what that 50 years will be like. Anyway, we'll see. Who knows? So how do we get to age? All right, yes. Okay, informal ministry, formal ministry. That's right. So, folks, here at the Hills Christian Family Centre, we do not apologise for inviting you into mission and ministry in the world. We do not resile from it. We are not embarrassed by the fact that we gather together and serve each other and others. This is our nature. We are a centre in that we come in, we are equipped, if you like, in the gathering, and then we go out. We go out. We are at work and at ministry during the week. We are reaching out to others. We're inviting in. We're serving others. Sometimes, obviously, in the name of Jesus. At other times, not so obvious. But when we're in our church community, we are at work and at ministry in that place. We are looking for an opportunity. We are wanting to bless. We are wanting to serve. We are doing it in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's obvious that we're moving in the cloak of Jesus Christ as we organise ourselves into this or that ministry. So friends, I just want to declare and say, as we preach on this final Sunday, as we look at the name Centre, this is the DNA of our church. This is the DNA of our mission and ministry in the world. This is who we are, and this is where we're going forward. And friends, as we'll see in a moment, if we look at the words of Jesus Christ, this mission and ministry, we have to confess, I have to tell you, you probably know it already, at times is hard. If you think I'm talking about some little roster that fits neatly into your suburban existence, that fulfills and allows you to outwork your plan for your life and just sits nicely there, that's not the ministry we're talking about. It's going to involve sacrifice. It's going to involve equipping. At times, you will be tired. At times, you'll be frustrated. At times, you'll be in conflict. At times, as you rise in leadership and in mission and ministry in the world, you will experience spiritual attack. Satan's not interested in this little concern we've got going here, going forward. All right, there's an opponent, there's an enemy. You are going to have to make changes. It won't fit neatly. But friends, the joy when we say yes to Jesus for the first time and then again when we step into the serving space is unparalleled. It is like nothing that you will do with your life ever and a day, saying yes to Jesus and serving him. It is magnificent, as tough as it might be at times, as hard as it might be, to say, Jesus, I am surrendering my resources, my life, my energy, the physical me, into your service. It is enthralling as that outworks its way into your life. And many of you here know exactly what I'm talking about. You constantly and have repeatedly said, yes, not my will be done, but yours, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving you this day, I'm giving you this week, I'm giving you this money, I'm giving you this house, I'm giving you this focus, I'm committing my skills to outworking the mission and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. God bless you for that. We're never going to resile from that. As our church moves forward, we're going to need more and more, if you like. But don't worry, there'll be others joining us. But at times it is hard. At times it requires a sacrifice. That's absolutely true. Jesus, when he first calls his disciples, right at the start of Mark's gospel, we see this incredible situation where Jesus, as we heard earlier in the series, leaves his hometown, starts to move around the region of Galilee, comes up to the Sea of Galilee, sees these two brothers casting a net into the fish because they were fishermen, just in case you were wondering. That was their job. And Jesus says, come follow me. Now, we don't know really whether Jesus already knew them. Maybe he'd met them the day before. I don't know. But Mark just gives it to us like this. Come follow me and I'll send you out to fish with people. So Jesus looks at these two guys who know something about gathering stuff together in order to make a living, and he speaks over them a new destiny. Peter does get his name changed from Simon to Peter. There's another one. You know about that episode when Simon, as he was then, declares by revelation of the Holy Spirit who Jesus is, and Jesus says, you are Peter. You are a rock. You have seen who I am, and now I set you forth as a pillar in the church. Boy, what a commission. What a change from fisherman to leading evangelist at the time. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, I don't know how things worked in those days. I don't know what they had to rely on or whatever, but all we're given is that this job that they had, this profession or whatever, once Jesus had spoken, it changed forever for them, forever. Now, friends, as we well know, are we suggesting that our church is going to be filled with people who leave their jobs and minister in the name of Jesus Christ? No, we're not. We'd then have to gather together, I guess, and start growing stuff together, vegetables, raising a few sheep, We're not that rich, folks, so it's not quite going to work like that. But for some, this is the destiny that Jesus is calling you to. There are some in this hall right now that this is in your future. And friends, when you hear the call of Jesus Christ on your life, the one and only response is to drop everything and go for it. It's not the promise of ease. It's not the promise of luxury. But it is the Son of God and the Saviour of all the world calling you into ministry and mission in the world. And these two guys heard it. Peter, who steps into the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew's an interesting story because he's right there at the start, but he doesn't end up in the inner circle. Then, a little further on, he sees the sons of thunder, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. They're also fishing just a little bit further down the coast. Without delay, he calls them. And they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. I wonder what that moment was like. See you, Dad. We're gone. Because Jesus is calling and inviting them to step into mission and ministry. They, those two brothers, with the Apostle Peter, stepped into the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the 3 years that he did ministry and mission on the earth, they were right there with him. They were there at the Transfiguration. They walked along Jesus with Jesus at that time. For some of you, God is calling you into the inner circle. God is calling you into paid mission and ministry in the world. God is calling you into leadership. Heaven knows our community and our church needs leaders. Like the ones who stood before you today, who are willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm leaving that behind and I'm coming with you in this direction." Then we see later on in Mark's gospel that Jesus' ministry is widened out now to a group of 12. This assignment is a bit more different from the ones just coming into his inner circle. On this occasion, he's sending out the 12 two by two and giving them authority over impure spirits. We've talked about this earlier in the series. Jesus on this occasion is commissioning them, but it's interesting to read the instructions that he gives these guys in terms of how they are to go out and minister in Jesus' name. Firstly, note, he gives them authority. So anyone called into mission and ministry in the world is not out there on their own, is not just, well, we'll just have to make the best of it. But anyone who says yes to Jesus Christ and receives his call to mission and ministry in the world is given authority in his name. And I don't know about you, but I find that scary. I find that exhilarating. I find it exciting, but an awesome responsibility to go in the authority and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that Jesus has got my back. Jesus is authorizing my ministry. And some of you might be thinking, well, I'm just helping out with this, or I'm just filling in a gap here, or I'm just saying yes to that because I look a bit desperate. I'm just doing what I can. But friends, everyone involved in this mission and ministry is authorized by Jesus to do it. He has called this church into existence. He has set over it leadership and oversight who then delegate responsibility to those in the church to do mission and ministry in the world. If you are in that place, if you're sitting here this morning, I'm telling you now, you're authorized by no less than Jesus Christ. It's delegated down. It's there for you to take hold of. You are authorized in Jesus' name. Receive your authority. Rise up and use it. Outwork it and minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on and gives them instructions. And when you think about it, he's sending them out two by two. In the world, I reckon a leader would say something like, well, don't forget to do this. Don't forget to take that. Make sure you prepare in this way. And you'd probably end up with a list of things like you were going camping. Anyone ever done that? You know, the list. I love lists. I live off lists. But Jesus gives them a list of what to leave behind. What kind of a list is that? Jesus says, lighten your load. Because I'm sending you out on something that doesn't look like anything else that you've ever been commissioned to do. Take nothing for the journey. What? What kind of a camp leader is that? Can Jesus lead the youth camp Cam and Sam in a couple of weeks' time at Douglas Scrub campsite? You stand up before the youth and say, don't bring anything, anyone. We're just going to see what happens. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? But Jesus says to these guys, take nothing except a staff used really for support, I guess, to help them walk, maybe for protection. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. But Lord, I love bread. I love my bag. I love to carry around my possessions. I want more money, Lord. Surely this mission and ministry in the world, Lord, would be easier if I knew that I had this bank account there full of cash, ready to call on if we get in trouble. Surely, Lord, just a little bit more. Let me take my possessions. I surround myself with them. They give me comfort. Less, Lord? Leave them behind, Lord? What kind of calling is this? Jesus didn't say, you need more money. As one Australian pastor unfortunately called one of his books many years ago and has regretted it ever since then. Be careful what you call your books, folks. It's going to be around for a long time. Jesus said, you need less money. Don't load yourself down because you're stepping out with my authority into this place. Wear sandals, shod your feet, but don't take an extra shirt. When you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Don't chop and change around. Serve out that place where you are. Receive the hospitality of those that you are ministering to and bless them if they invite you to stay. If not, just leave that place and move on. That welcome has been withdrawn. So Jesus commissions the 12 and sends them out, but it's with a totally different agenda than we often want to attach to our mission and ministry in the world. And we read following on that they did go out and preach that people should repent. That was their message. Change from this to that. Become a follower of Jesus. And their authority to drive out demons and to heal others was outworked as they said yes to Jesus Christ. We're going to wrap up now as we move towards the Lord's Supper with this teaching, a couple of chapters on from this commissioning, that again confronts us as we look at it, as we reflect on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We look at this and we think, Lord, was that the best marketing strategy to gather followers to yourself? In the world today, if someone's trying to draw a following, if someone's trying to build up a group, they're talking about this is what's in it for you, this is what you can have, this is what you can get. Jesus at this point in time calls together not only the crowd that had gathered around him thinking we're going to see a sideshow, this is going to be fantastic, we might get something out of it, but also calls the 12 to him just after Peter had said, you must not die, Lord. You must not. You must go on. You must take power in Jerusalem. You must rise and we're going to be right there with you as we go to the top, Lord. And Jesus just said, no, it's nothing like that at all. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. When was the last time someone leading something said, you must deny yourself? We just don't hear that so often. We receive a different message. The things that we commit to and put our energy in are so often these days based on the promise of something, some enrichment, some fanfare, some feeling, some glory. But Jesus says, actually, he's inviting us into a path of self-denial. And even as that word comes out of my mouth, your flesh and mine cringes with the feeling that we would deny ourselves. We're so programmed not to do it today. It's so hard that we could do that. But Jesus says, this is the way to your life. He does hold out a promise. He says to fail to do it and attempt to be his disciple will in the end result in loss. But to deny yourself in his name will result in the gaining of your life. Friends, if you want me to use these words, I will. Your best life lies in the discipleship pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ. I might add, your only life. Ultimately, your only life lies in that place and in that pathway. Jesus said, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. There is eternal life. There is your future. Friends, when Jesus says, pick up your cross, it's become for us these days a religious object. People wear them around their necks as ornaments. I'm not criticising that, but so often I look at the cross and I look at the person and I say, do they know that they're wearing an execution instrument around their neck? They could have an electric chair or a little gallows around their neck. Look at me, I'm about to die. Because that's what it was at the time. It was not anything of interest or anything to be. It was awful. You would shun the cross. And who wants to go near it? It was how people were embarrassed and humiliated and executed by the state at the time. And yet Jesus says, take it up. Lay down your life for me because it is the pathway to where I am calling you to. And folks, I acknowledge that is hard. We live in a culture that is insatiable at neutralizing and diluting that message. We must resist. We must step into the sacrificial way of serving Jesus. But friends, the glory, the release of life amongst us when we do is why this is being held out to us. It is like nothing else that you will ever do with your life, serving the purposes and the mission and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I want us to bow our heads in prayer, and I'm now going to invite our ushers to move to the front while we're doing that as we prepare to take communion together. And in fact, we're going to pray in a moment's time, but we need to start. If we could give these out now, that would be fantastic. Many of you know what we're about to do, but let me explain for those of you who are unfamiliar. In talking this way about death, Jesus, when he came to the end of his life on earth, invited his 12 disciples into an upper room for a last supper. And there he said, this bread that we have amongst us is now given to you as an emblem of my body. This wine that we are sharing together is given as an emblem of my body. Here at the Hills Christian Family Centre, we invite anyone who wants to take these emblems this morning as a sign of acknowledgement or respect or honouring of what Jesus Christ did. You may not call yourself a Christian, but you may want to say, you know, I don't understand everything that's involved or that it means, but I'm happy to share these this morning because I want to acknowledge and respect what Jesus Christ did. If that's you in your category this morning, you're welcome to share with us now. But friends, I want you to consider as you take these this morning that you are holding in your hand simple items, yes, bread and grape juice, almost as harmless as a little gold cross around your neck. But in your hands are the emblems that indicate that the one who called us to sacrifice went first himself. That Jesus' mission and ministry, yes, was doing miracles, yes, was healing others, yes, was preaching, it was all of those things, but consider his greatest and final ministry act was to die on behalf of all the world. And this morning we are going to acknowledge that his ministry and mission in the world involved sacrifice. Wasn't about being popular, wasn't about being famous, but it culminated in him saying, I surrender to the will of my Father, I will lay down my life for others. And we are being invited not only to take the Lord's Supper here this morning, but to step into that sacrificial space. That is what it means to be in mission and ministry in the world. I'm just going to invite our team to the front, and they're going to play for us as we prepare to eat this together. And I just want you to reflect for a moment. Before we do that, we're going to eat all together today, and just to consider what you're holding in your hand, that you do have the emblems of Jesus' sacrifice in your hands as we gather this morning, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together. I'm just going to invite you now to close your eyes and just have a moment of prayer as we give thanks for what we're about to do. Lord, we do acknowledge that this life that we're called to was won for us at great cost. That the breaking of the power of sin in our lives cost you your life, cost everything. That the release of the Holy Spirit into our hearts came only after you had paid the price. And Father, we thank you for the fact that we have been privileged to hear this morning the proclamation of your goodness, grace, and mercy. And Lord, to receive your call, firstly, to say yes to you, to become Christians, to accept again that you are our Saviour and our Lord, to then feel the warmth of the invitation to step into community, to be part of a family, a group that meets here at the Hills Christian Family Centre, where we share life together, where we serve each other, where we live together. Lord, we also acknowledge today the call into ministry and mission in the world. The fact that these are intertwined, that a life of sacrifice and surrender is the pathway that you follow. But as we do, Lord, we step into a gaining of life, a winning of our soul that we can't experience outside of saying yes to you. And Lord, I thank you that you have raised many people into mission and ministry in this church. There are many people about your business here as we gather on Sundays and beyond, Lord. Father, help us to be sensitive and alive and alert to your calling. Help us now, as we prepare to eat together, to see in front of us the emblems that represent your life, blood, and body given for us. That you yourself showed us the way to step out, to surrender for you, and then to take up, Lord, and to know what it means to be rich and full, not in the way that the world proclaims it, but in the way that truly delights us, Lord. Father, I thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy, your willingness to go first and surrender before we did. As we eat and drink together this morning, we thank you truly. In Jesus' name, amen.